for God's purpose for your life. It's a gift to you. And God wants to restore. If you've lost a sense of purpose, God wants to restore that to you. Our problem is, instead of taking a hold of God's purposes, we buy into the purposes of this world. Success, money, materialism, personal happiness, personal gain, success in the business world. We think that's where it's at. And we fall into these traps that the rest of the world has fallen into. And it's so shallow. It's so empty. When we live for those kind of purposes, it brings no sense of fulfillment to our hearts and lives because we're not fulfilling the purposes of God in our lives. So let's take a hold of God's purposes. Amen? Let's stop taking hold of dead ends. For probably the last 10 years, about the last 10 years, I've been helping an individual. His name is Tom. He's 72 years old. And kind of behind the scenes, I've been helping Tom. Tom is schizophrenic. He's been schizophrenic since he was in junior high school. Tom, his parents have passed. He's got no siblings. He has literally no family, no aunts, no uncles, no cousins. He has no family. And because of how he's lived his life and the fact that he doesn't, he has a hard time relating to people, he has no friends, really. He's got different agencies that have tried to help him over the years, but trying to help, he's difficult to help because he hears voices and he sometimes does what the voices tell him to do. And it's frustrating trying to help him, to be honest with you, because he doesn't listen to me very much. I've tried to give him guidance and sound advice over the years. And so there's times where I won't hear from Tom for weeks. And on several occasions, I've set him up at some place to live, and then I only find out, like, weeks later he moved out because the voices told him to, and he's out. He's homeless. Doesn't have a roof over his head, he's lost his wallet, whatever it might be, and so I've come in on several occasions to try to help him as much as I can, but as you can imagine, there's times that that's a little frustrating. And so this last week, Tom called me up, and he was totally out of money, and he needed a ride somewhere, so I went, and I had just finished a meeting. I was super busy day. But I thought, you know, who else is going to do this? So I went and picked Tom up. I gave him a little bit of money, took him to where he needed to go. And I'm leaving. As I'm driving away, I'm thinking, man, just I was so busy today, and I didn't need this. And this is so frustrating trying to help this guy out. And how did I get involved in this to begin with? How did I get, you know, stuck with Tom? How did I, what's going on? And the Holy Spirit just spoke to my heart and said, Tim, you need Tom more than he needs you. And it was so surprising to me. If you ever have a time where the Lord says something and it's such a shock to you, kind of go, could you repeat that, God? And so God did. God said, you need Tom more than he needs you. He said, you see, Tim, I'm going to look out for Tom, whether you do it or not. And the reality is, in this world, you're his only friend. You're the only one that will help him. And when Tom dies, you're the only one that will go to his funeral. And the Lord said, so right now, Tim, I'm using Tom to help you become more like Jesus. And when he's gone, you're going to miss that. And so, yes, Tim, you need Tom more than he needs you. So I don't know what you think of when you think of a leader, but I know I think of Jesus. Because Jesus, that's what he's done for me. He's been there for me all of my life. In spite of all the foolish things I've done and said, Jesus has always been there for me. So I'm determined, no matter how much time I have left on this world, I'm going to live to serve the purposes of Jesus. Not my purposes, not this world's purposes, but the purposes of Jesus, because there's life in that. Life in that. In Luke chapter 12, Jesus tells a parable, a story about a man that lived for the purposes of this world and what ends up happening to him. So Luke chapter 12, beginning at verse 16, says this, "And Jesus told them this parable. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself," and I want you to notice how many times this guy says the word "I." "He thought to himself, 'What shall I do? I have no place to store my crops.' Then he said, 'This is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones, and there I will store my surplus grain. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be merry.'" Now, I want you to notice this guy lived for what the rest of the world lives for. He lived for himself. Lived for himself. Nowhere in what he's saying here to himself, nowhere does he say, "I wonder what God wants me to do. How can I use the blessing that God has put into my life to serve God's purposes?" Never ask that question. "God, what do you want me to do? How can I be a blessing to someone else?" He doesn't ask any of those questions. It's all about, how does this affect me? What am I going to do? How can I make myself happy? And then the end result of this, verse 20, "But God said to him, 'You fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for yourself?'" And then Jesus concludes this parable with this, "This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich toward God." Wow. What a powerful, powerful lesson for us. Am I living my life to serve the purposes of this world, to serve the purposes of my selfish flesh, or am I living my life to serve the purposes of God? Jesus lived his entire life for the purposes of God. Amen? And he is the perfect example for us of what it means to lead, because Jesus didn't live for his own purposes. He lived for the purposes of his Father in heaven. And so Jesus comes into our lives not only to forgive our sins. Praise God for that. I'm thankful that I'm forgiven. Amen? Thankful that I'm forgiven. But Jesus does a lot more than just forgive us. Jesus also helps us get our train back on the right tracks. When we've been derailed by the things of this world, Jesus comes along and he helps us to get our purpose in life right again. Far too many people that have asked for Jesus' forgiveness, and they've given their life to Jesus in one sense, but in another sense, they haven't fully surrendered their life to the purposes of God. And I want to call you this morning. I want to challenge you, Christians. I want to challenge you. Let's be determined to live our entire lives for the purposes of God. Amen? Let's get our train back on the right track. And let's let Jesus truly lead every day of our lives. Look at this passage of scripture from 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 18. Peter wrote this to Christians, "For you know that it was not with perishable things such as silver or gold that you were redeemed from your empty way of life handed down to you by your ancestors, but with the precious blood of Christ, a lamb without blemish or defect." Now Peter is saying here, yes, through the blood of Jesus, we are forgiven. But he's saying it's more than that. You've been forgiven, but you've also been redeemed. Your life has been bought back. Bought back from what? Bought back from the empty way of life that you used to live. A life without purpose. A life without direction. A life without eternal value. Jesus says that he's come into this world to seek and to save that which was lost. So not only forgiving us, but the lostness, the lack of direction, the lack of purpose. Jesus has come to redeem us from our empty way of life, handed down to us by this world, right? By the things in this world. And I want to challenge you today. Let's decide this morning. Let's live for the purposes of God in our lives. Amen? Let's live for God's purposes. And this is how Jesus lived his life. Jesus was crystal clear in terms of his sense of direction and purpose in his life. Jesus knew who he was. Jesus understood what was important and what didn't really matter. Jesus clearly understood his personal mission, so much so that even on the cross, he proclaimed before he died, "It is finished," right? When Jesus said, "It is finished," he wasn't saying, "My life is finished," because Jesus knew his life wasn't finished. Jesus was saying that his mission was finished, that what he came to accomplish in this world was accomplished, that he had lived his life for the purposes of God. And that's how I want to live my life, that at the end of my life, yes, I live for the purposes of God. I might not have done it perfectly like Jesus did, but I know my heart was set on the purposes of God for my life. Amen? He's the one we live to please. This is what makes Jesus such a great leader, such a great example for all of us. Look at Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 17. Hebrews 6 and verse 17 says, God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purpose very clear. So I want you to see a couple of things there. First of all, see that God has a purpose. He has a purpose that he's fulfilling in this world, and he has a purpose for your life. And the purposes of God are unchanging. They're unchanging. Man, we can take such peace in that, can't we? I mean, I don't know about you. When I look at what's happening in the world around us today, man, it can be so unsettling, can't it? It can be so unsettling. And church, more than ever, we need to focus on the fact that God is going to fulfill his purposes. No matter who's in the White House, no matter what crazy things are happening in our world, God's going to fulfill his purposes. And that's where I want to be, amen? I want to be right smack dab in the middle of God's purposes in this world. I want to be a part of all of it. Yeah. And then the other thing I want you to see in this verse, God wanted to make the unchanging nature of his purposes, what? Very clear. Very clear. So let's make that our prayer. God, I'm committed to following your purposes. Would you make your purposes in my life very clear? Amen? God, will you show me what you have? Will you show me what you want out of my life? And following God's purpose, plan, and destiny. Because it's not easy. There's always going to be things that come up to try to derail us, to try to get us off track. So it's going to be things that come up because, you know what? There is a real devil that doesn't want you living for the purposes of God. Just think about how many things tried to derail Jesus from his mission. Beginning at the very beginning of his mission, the first thing Jesus does is he goes out into the wilderness, he fasts for 40 days, and then the devil shows up and tries to get him off track, right? Hey, Jesus, why don't you make yourself king of this world? Just bow down to me and look at the kingdoms of the world. I'll give you all these kingdoms. Jesus, why don't you cast yourself down from the pinnacle of the temple? Show everybody who you are. Jesus, if you're really the Son of God, why don't you take these rocks and turn them into bread? I mean, you're really hungry. You should really do this. Jesus recognized right away that these were all temptations from the devil to try to throw him off of his God purposes. Right? And then there's so many other examples in Jesus' life. I also think about the time that people came to Jesus and they tried to make him their king right here on earth, right? Jesus, we want you to wipe out these Romans. We want to make you king. We believe you're the Messiah. You're going to lead us into victory. But Jesus knew that's not what he was called to do. Jesus knew that he was called to the cross. Now I even think about Peter. About Peter, Jesus proclaimed to the disciples what was going to happen. He tells them, I'm going to be arrested. I'm going to be taken to Jerusalem. I'm going to be handed over to the Gentiles. They're going to kill me. And Peter says, never, never, Lord, will that happen to you. And you remember Jesus' response to Peter. Jesus' response to Peter was, get thee behind me, Satan. Now, I'm sure Peter thought he was being bold and courageous, and I'm going to fight for you, Jesus, to the end. That's not going to happen to you. But Jesus recognized right away that Peter's words were not from God. They were from the enemy. They were an attempt to distract Jesus from his divine purpose. And then even as Jesus is being arrested, Peter takes out his sword, right, and he goes after one of the people that's coming to arrest Jesus, goes after them, he kind of missed, and he chops off his ear, and then Jesus puts his hand on the man's ear, and he heals the guy right there, and Jesus says to Peter, Peter, look, if I wanted to, I could call an army of angels right now, but that's not what this is about, Peter. This is about fulfilling God's purpose of redeeming this world. That's what Jesus' life was about. This is the life Jesus invites us to. Don't live for the purposes of this world. Live for the purposes of Christ in our lives. Luke chapter 9 and verse 51 says this. It says, when the days drew near for him, that's speaking of Jesus, to be taken up, he set his face to go to Jerusalem. Amazing, amazing leadership, amazing courage, amazing commitment to the purpose of God. Jesus knew what was waiting in Jerusalem. Jesus knew he was going to be arrested, beaten, spat upon. Jesus knew about the crown of thorns, the beating he was going to take. Jesus knew about the cross. And yet the Bible says that Jesus set his face to go to Jerusalem. Listen, guys, it wasn't the nails that held Jesus to the cross. It was his love for us. It was his love for us. And now, we make the decision, man, am I going to really follow Jesus who did all of that for me? See, Jesus could have came into this world and ruled by force, but he didn't. Jesus comes into our lives and he rules by love. And who doesn't want to follow someone like that? Amen? Yeah. Got to be honest. When I look at the leaders that our world has right now, not many of them are worth following. They're just not. But thank God, we have someone greater, higher, more powerful, more wonderful. We have Jesus, and he is worth following. Amen? Let's live for the purposes of Christ in our lives. That's going to take courage, because there's going to be all kinds of things that are going to try to discourage you, derail you, disappoint you. I believe in my heart this morning that some of you, you've understood more about the purposes of God in your life, but you've been discouraged, you've been disappointed, and you've gotten derailed, you've gotten off track. And I want to call you back this morning. I want to call you back. Would you trust the Lord with your life again? And just say, Lord, I'm going to put my confidence, my trust in you. I've been hurt. I've been disappointed. I've kind of given up on my God purposes. I want to call you back today. I want you to know God has a purpose, a plan, and a destiny for your life. Don't get derailed. Come back to the purposes of God. Make him the center of everything. You know, our problem is sometimes is we want to be saved, we want to be forgiven, but we kind of keep Jesus kind of on the outer circle of our lives. I mean, he's just one among many things. I just got to tell you, that's not going to work. That's not going to work. If you want Jesus, he can't be one of many things in your life. He has to be the thing. Jesus said, seek first the kingdom of God. Seek first the kingdom of God. Not second, not fifth, not tenth. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And then Jesus said, all these other things will be added unto you. And by all these other things, he was talking about food, clothing, right? God taking care of you. God's going to do all that. But we got to trust Jesus first. Put him first. Would you bow your heads with me and close your eyes this morning? And I'm just asking you to do this because it's easy to get distracted even in church. And so I just want to encourage you this morning. Would you just close yourself in? I've done a lot of talking this morning. And I hope you've listened to most of it. But I really, more than hearing me, I really hope that you'll listen to what God wants to say to you this morning. Because God loves you. God loves you. He knows you. I might know you a little bit, but God knows everything about you. So much so, the Bible says, even the hairs on your head are numbered by him. There's not a thing about you this morning Jesus doesn't know. You might feel this morning like God's forgotten about you, but I'll promise you that's a lie. You might feel like there's no purpose to your life. That's a lie. There's purpose in your life. There's a reason you're here. You're a miracle. And so I just want to take a moment right now and just first of all, if there's anybody here that you know you need to get back on track with God. I mean, maybe you've asked Jesus to come into your life, but you know today that you're not really living for God's purposes. He's not the center of your life. And this morning you need to, in your heart, either for the first time, commit your life to Jesus or make a recommitment of your life to Jesus. But if you're here this morning and you just know, I need to make Jesus the center of it all. I need to make Jesus the center. I need to come back to God's purposes. I've been living for my own purposes for too long. And I need to recommit myself to the purposes of God. I just want to lead you in a prayer doing that very thing. And so if that describes where your heart is this morning, I'm going to count to three. And I'm going to invite you, when I get to the number three, to just raise up your hand. And when you raise up your hand, you're just saying, Tim, I need to be included in this prayer. I need to recommit my life to Jesus. I need to give my life to Jesus for the first time. I need to make Jesus the center of my life. So if that's you this morning, when I say three, you raise your hand up, okay? And let me know that you want to be included in this prayer. One, two, three.